All right, so here we are recording. Midnight with Robert Shaw. It's me, Kyle. I got Richard.
Hi.
Great. So Hollywood, it's officially dead.
In more ways than one, yes.
Because who died? It wasn't Robin Williams, but the Hollywood guy. What's his name again?
Hollywood guy?
The guy from Mannequin.
Oh, yes. Hollywood.
I don't remember his real name, though.
I don't know his name either. He was on Designing Women, which that should tell you something. I don't watch that show.
I did.
Oh.
My mom watched it, so I watched it.
Well, Delta Burke in her day had a nice fat ass. And Major Dad was all the way up it.
What? Were they hooking up?
When I think of a woman's ass, something comes out of me. And that's true. No, Major Dad and Delta Burke are married. I think they still are.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's true. IMDb that.
Because Major Dad, that's the Simon and Simon guy, right?
I have no idea. You're probably right.
I think so. I think
just remember he's
he was in that
shit.
That movie
he's in
too.
Deadwood. Oh my god, why am I blanking on his name?
Oh, he's in the A-Team too. He's like the general in that movie.
Oh well, yeah, he always shows up as a military guy. Always a general.
Major Dad.
Major Dad.
Let's see, Major Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Gerald McCraney. That's right.
Sure.
And he's married to Delta Burke. 89 to present. Yeah.
Shit, I know all. You cannot stop me. You can't stump me. I am on fire when it comes to useless, shitty information.
He's recently on House of Cards, Justified, and some movie called Focus with Will Smith that's coming up.
Hey, there you go.
They met Delta Burke when she guested on Simon and Simon.
Oh yeah, that's back when she was like hot Delta Burke. She had like an ass that wouldn't quit.
And he also appeared on Designing Women.
And then she also had an ass that wouldn't stop eating. And the Major Dad was like, "I don't care. I love you anyway, honey. I'm Major Dad, and I'm going to put a major stop to your major eating, you major fat bitch."
I'm sure that's how their marriage goes.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's word just word. Like that. Yeah.
If I was a fly on the wall, I would know.
Well, you do know, because it seems so clear.
That's true.
And really detailed, so... Yeah.
I just sit and think of this stuff all day, all day long.
Mike and Molly, he was on. Undercovers, Justified, Southland, House of
Wait,
Cards.
He was undercover under Mike and Molly?
No, it's a TV show from a
few
years ago.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Southland, yeah, House of Cards, Longmire, which I never...
Longmire's an A&E show. I haven't watched it either.
Yeah.
No interest. I know Katie Sackhoff's in it.
Yeah.
Who we just... we had Cinemax for free, so I taped Riddick. I get to see her side nip.
Again, gosh,
oh,
you're so lucky.
Pause it in slow motion, frame by frame. You can almost see a complete areola. Almost. But
yeah, last thing Delta Burke did was in 2012.
Well, that's pretty recent.
Yeah. Boston Legal, she did some of that.
The last thing Delta Burke did was a fucking ham. Do you think she like pops? She likes those tin can hams. You know, like those tin hams where you like pop them open and they're ready to go. It looks like that wet, gross ham, and she just dives right in with not even a fork, just her fingers.
Oh gosh.
Or hands. I mean, she could use her fingers, I guess.
That's hideous.
That'd be
that's
pretty
terrible.
Bad.
Wow. Terrible. All right.
Is she a friend of the show? I don't know.
I guess not. I'll say no. I'll say probably not.
And I'm sure she's a lovely, lovely woman, but this is a show about, you know,
insulting
celebrities
people.
And insulting people. So I'm just going to keep saying, you know what? She's a big, fat fuck eater.
Gosh.
Don't care. She probably got the stomach stapling surgery. Good for her.
You're so generous.
Good for her. I've been watching My 600-Pound Life, so... That's a great show. Love
what is
it.
That?
That's a show on Discovery Health Channel, because I don't know. Discovery Channel used to be like the History Channel, but now it's like the History Channel with lots of reality programs. And they have a sub-channel, Discovery Health, where essentially it's about 22 hours of fat programming and then paid commercials, like paid programming.
So,
for the rest
so
of 2 hours.
What's this, my 600-pound life?
Well, it usually takes place in Texas, because that's where all the fatties live, apparently. I mean, I'm not making this up. It's based off of these, you know, obese people who need to take this gastric bypass surgery to save their lives. So it's about them, you know, trying to stop this food addiction they have. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're surrounded by enablers because they're all hicks and they all cook like starchy foods and they eat like pounds of mud pie and drink gallons of soda. Occasionally smoke. Not many smoke, though, because they really can't smoke in bed. Because they're usually bedridden. So maybe they'll smoke a Tootsie Roll, but then they just probably eat it. But it's wow. just sad. It's really sad. And usually the cutoff weight for this show obviously is 600 pounds. So you know you're in for some good people watching. But I mean, you feel bad and you want all these people to, you know, pull through and do it. And about, it's 50-50 most of the time. And the show's not afraid to pull punches because sometimes the people fucking die.
Do they
and
really?
They die.
And they show it.
Oh, well, I mean, they say it. They're like, they'll cut to a black screen and they'll be like, Tommy G died that night. And it's just like, wow, that's depressing.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes they deserve it because they don't want to get help. They don't want to change. As soon as they get out of the surgery, well, because the idea is you have to lose weight before you can even have the surgery. So, like, they're 700 pounds. They have to weigh, like, 630 pounds to get the surgery. So, you know, they have to go through a process before to lose the weight. But I like the first 10 minutes because that's where you get the best stuff, because that's when they're, like, eating ridiculous amounts of fast food. And that's what I like to watch.
And it is when it's still, like, really overweight.
Oh, yes, yes. It's fantastic.
Hmm.
Because, like, they'll go to, like, my typical day, you know, I get in my car, I try to go to work, but then I have to stop by to Wendy's or to McDonald's before I go to the work, and I get myself some food breakfast. I usually have about 45,000 calories before 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I come back at 8, and I have about 10,000 more calories. From a Wendy's, I get the chicken nuggets, the spicy nuggets, the frosty, 4 milkshakes, 2 gallons of ice cream, and I dip it over the top french fries. It's always the same stuff. And it's always that voice, too, because they can't breathe, you know. But that's the best part. The first 10 minutes of the shows are the best. Then I usually change it because it gets really sad and depressing. As opposed to just watching them eat.
That sounds pretty good.
It's a good show. You should get cable just for that show.
I'm already on with a local provider, so I just have a few minutes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Don't do Comcast. Don't fall for those assholes.
Do you have Comcast?
I don't. No.
Oh, okay.
I don't have cable. I have DirecTV.
Oh, right.
I got
yeah.
satellite, yo. I don't like cable. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the functions. I don't like the menu. I just don't like cable. Even though, like, the cable internet is faster and cheaper.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't do it. Unless I live on my own, I'll get it. But I'm not there yet.
You're so close. You're so close.
So close.
But what other news is the news today? I don't even know.
It's been Robin Williams for like 3 days now.
Ugh.
It's just that they're not going to let that let it go, I guess.
So you have to recast Mrs. Doubtfire. Who do you recast? Who do you get?
That's good. Nicolas Cage.
I don't quite see it, but I like it because it's totally different. Like, you're not trying to copy the same thing.
I'll do it for the money. I'll do it. Swear to God, man. Are you guys still trying to do that Mrs. Doubtfire movie? I need the money. I'm doing Left Behind, for Christ's sake. Literally.
So, Nicolas Cage. Okay, I like that. I like that.
Or Ian McKellen.
Well, it's a little tougher to swallow, but maybe.
I'm Mrs. Doubtfire. I must say, children, I want to get back with your mother, Sally Field.
So that's what I just couldn't imagine. Like, what could the movie even be about?
Okay, I think I got it. Sally Field is dead because she dies of old age in her sleep. Okay. So she's like, you know, because she's 87. The kids are all adults. They all have families of their own. They're all in their 50s. So he wants to see the grandchildren because he has become a horrible, horrible success. And they all bar him from seeing the grandkids this time. So, you know, he needs to reconnect with his grandkids to get back to his real kids.
Right, right.
And that's what it's about.
So maybe the Mrs. Doubtfire character becomes this whole thing after
and
the first one blows up.
At the end, he shoots himself in the head.
Ouch.
So which is ironic.
So he wouldn't hang himself.
No, that's too close to home. That's scary. Dad, you can't do that. That's too rough.
Oh, it's so awful. Oh, God.
You know, that, I mean, it's just sad because it's just, I think the wife might have done it, though.
Well, how do you forget about the guy for 20 hours? That's what I want
to
know.
That's kind of odd to me. And you know, the first person that finds him is the assistant. And he's been dead for 20, hours. Rigor mortis had set in. So I don't know. I feel it's kind of suspicious. I don't know. I think it needs to be investigated a little bit closer.
It just seems odd to me. Like,
yeah.
Who forgets the guy? Does he take long trips? Is he like, I'm going to disappear for days and come back? Don't worry. Like, is that his thing?
I don't know.
It's
and for the wife to say he was my best friend and then not know where he is for 20 hours, it's kind of odd to me.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything about people saying, oh, yeah, he used to take long walks or disappear for hours at a time. I haven't heard any of those stories.
Walks. Yeah.
I mean, I understood he was a bicyclist, like a big bike enthusiast who loved Lance Armstrong until he betrayed us all.
Yeah, I guess like the show getting canceled really pushed him over the edge.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I guess he had a a sort of a movie called The Angriest Man or something like that, and it went straight to video on demand. It just was released in maybe $2 theaters, and nobody saw it, and it was critically panned, so I think that kind of bugged him. The problem is he was divorced twice, and that costs money if you're a wealthy entertainer.
It ain't free.
And he had three kids. He's got three kids in their 20s, but, you know, he had to pay for them and pay for everything. And I guess they said he was very generous with his friends and family. He had a $35 million Napa Valley ranch that he was trying to unload and sell. So that must mean he spent $20 million on it. Maybe less, but I doubt it.
Now, the way the market is today, it's probably undervalued.
Yeah. And he could unload that. So, I mean, you know, I think I was reading somewhere they were saying he was having a hell of a time. He was in a dark spot because he was like thinking he's 63 and he's like, he has to start over again. He was getting scared, I guess, financially, you know, but still, fuck, why kill yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty extreme.
I mean, hell, I mean, he could have just went on TV and said, you know what, I need a dollar because I'm in bad shape, and he would have gotten like $20 million.
Well, he should have gone Zach Braff and just put a Kickstarter out there.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, hell, it worked for Zach Braff.
And everyone hates Zach Braff now because of it. So you wanted Robin Williams to be hated just like you hate Melissa McCarthy.
But, you know, I think regarding the TV show, it probably would have been better if he just signed on to a show that was already a hit, like Mike and Molly or something.
Yeah, that probably would have been wiser. It's tough to be a new show, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, it ain't easy. I think
no.
you know, you wouldn't get paid as much, but at least to get a current, a steady paycheck, maybe that would be better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think? He should have went with, like, one of the Big Bang. He should have been, like, a teacher on the Big Bang. That would have been a better way to go.
I think I could have seen that, yeah.
It would have been interesting. Why not?
Well, yeah, looking at this Angriest Man movie.
Yes.
It's got Mila Kunis, Peter Dinklage, Melissa Leo.
Oh, fuck. That should be a $100 million winner.
So not really a bad cast. I mean, he's got people in it.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else?
The Dink and the Punching Bag, Melissa Leo.
Oh, God. Directed by the guy who did Rhinestone.
Antoine Fuqua.
No, the guy who did Rhinestone.
What's Rhinestone?
It's that awful Stallone movie, one of the mini.
Oh, wow, I was going to guess that. Wow, there's your first sign of trouble.
Well, he didn't do Field of Dreams, but I'm trying to start with what really counts.
Right. Well, he did Field of Dreams, and then he also did he do Sneakers?
Yeah, probably his only good movies.
Yeah.
Because he did Sum of All Fears, which was a terrible movie.
Well, that was for the money. He just directed that movie, I assume.
Let's see. There's some trivia for this one, though. Let's see what it says.
This is for The Angriest Man.
Yeah, I'm still looking it up, yeah. Just curious. Marks the return of Phil Alden Robinson. Hadn't directed a movie in 12 years.
Probably a good reason for that.
Yeah.
Phil Alden Robinson. You remember him? Neither do we.
And then I don't know, whatever.
He made us believe again in Field of Dreams.
That's too bad, though. I mean, I can see why he would sign on to it. I mean, it's got a good cast, not a great director, but he's done stuff. I mean, he's worked.
Well, I'm sure they probably were buddies or something, or maybe they knew each other. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Robin Williams, especially in the last couple of years, really not a box office draw at all. He's been more of sort of an ensemble throw-in. Like, he sort of just, if you have like a big wedding movie, he's like the priest.
No, I think so. I think he's like a good part of the ensemble, but not really the movie.
No.
Yeah, like he did Night at the Museum movies. He did The Butler. He was in that.
Right.
He was in Episode of Louie.
He didn't get paid for that. I mean, that's just like The Butler was a low budget movie, so that was probably more of a favor.
He did Old Dogs, was in 2009.
Oh, yeah, that was not good.
August Rush.
Not much better.
No, License to Wed, 2006.
That was one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen.
He did Happy Feet.
Well, that was a hit. But it's a cartoon. It's
different.
Yeah,
it doesn't count. Man of the Year, nobody saw that one.
No, that was a big bomb, yeah.
RV, no one saw it. Well, that did okay.
It did okay. But no, that was like goofy, stupid, fat people from Texas loved RV.
Death to Smoochie.
That was a classic.
But nobody saw it, though.
Nobody saw it, but it's unfortunate.
Insomnia and 1 Hour Photo, no one saw those.
No, Insomnia was decent. That one made pretty good returns, I think.
Bicentennial Man, bomb.
Oh, that was a big bomb, man.
Jacob the Liar, bomb.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
I mean, honestly, his last hit was probably Patch Adams, where he starred.
Right.
Looking at his IMDb list, as 1998.
Yeah, I mean, he really didn't have anything really going on for the last, God, I would say, 17 years.
Yeah, but Dreams May Come, and then definitely Flubber.
Yeah, that bombed.
Flubber was a big hit. So.
Flubber was a hit, but Flubber was in, like, that was in his, like, his heyday.
Yeah, that was 97, so yeah.
Yeah, I would say the mid-90s, that was his time. Like, that was, and it sort of reached its zenith when he wins the Oscar.
Yeah, because really, comedians don't have a long window, typically.
No.
I think lately Seth Rogen has been an exception.
Well, I think Robin Williams transcended comedian.
He did.
He was more of an actor.
That became clear later, especially. Yeah. But no, he had The Birdcage, 96.
Right.
Jumanji,
95.
Yeah.
Or 95.
He was an episode of Homicide: Life on the Street.
Hey.
Mrs. Doubtfire, of course. Toys. That's
a huge hit. Huge. Oh, Toys was a massive bomb. That movie, that
how did Hook do? How did Hook do?
I think Hook did okay, but ultimately it's considered a failure.
Fisher King Awakenings.
Well, Fisher King and Awakenings are good movies.
Yeah, Dead Poets Society.
A good movie. Yeah. Is, well, see, that's the kind of thing he had like that. He sort of had that wave effect. It's like 88, it, like from Good Morning Vietnam till about Awakenings.
Yeah, that was in 87, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that time was pretty good. And then he kind of hit us. No, actually, you know what? I would say 86 to 98 was his time. That's a pretty big gap.
What was it, 86, though?
Well, whatever, Good Morning Vietnam. I don't know if it was 86. It might have been 87.
It was 87, yeah.
Yeah, 87, I was going to say.
Because 86, you know, didn't have anything coming out.
Well, okay, so 87, Good Morning Vietnam. And then he had Dead Poets Society. Then he has, you know, Fisher King, Awakenings. I mean, this is the golden age of Robin Williams. I would say 87 to 97. He had 10 years. I mean, that's not bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you count Mork and Mindy, because that's from 78 to 82.
I don't.
Okay. And then The World According to Garp in 82.
Well, that's when he's starting. Like, that's like, you know, the inklings of greatness, and then it finally hits.
But yeah, you're right.
In 87. I mean, you got to start somewhere, and then you get to that epic where, you know, you have your success and you also have sort of massive success and just, you know, acclaim too.
That's a good window, though. Yeah, I mean, he had Moscow on the Hudson, 84, which is a big bomb.
Yeah, but that's considered, he's regarded, that one's kind of regarded as a classic, I think.
Is it really?
I think so, just because of his performance. It's a pretty good one. I mean, he plays a Russian, but, you know, it's no Razor's Edge scale bomb.
Oh, boy.
Bill Murray.
But, yeah, 87, yeah, probably to 98, yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, it's a good run.
Yeah, I think so. That's not pretty solid.
I think, I mean, I don't know. I think a part of me is like, if he would have just decided, you know what, invested his money better, maybe he could have gradually stepped away from the limelight, and then maybe that would have made him happier. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't really know.
Because after that point, he just kept doing sequels and really bad movies, and I guess someone was saying, one of his friends, he was ashamed of doing sequels, and he was ashamed of doing these horrible movies for, you know, a paycheck. He did not enjoy that. It wasn't his idea, but it was just, you know, because he had to make money. So,
well, I mean, he was in like 1 hour photo and
well, that, yeah, but that's what, toward,
that was 2002.
Yeah.
How was Final Cut? What was that one?
Was that a good, oh, that one was like a sci-fi movie with Tim Robbins and I think the girl from Minority Report. What's her name?
Let me see.
The cog, the pre-cog, the pre-cock. Samantha Morton. She's in the Final Cut.
I don't see her on this. Hold on.
Oh, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really see
the Final Cut.
Yeah, Jim Caviezel's in it though. I don't know.
Well, there you go, JC.
Did you see it or
no?
Oh, okay.
Now then, he had like The Night Listener, and then he had a lot of movies that just didn't go anywhere. And I'm sure they were fine, and he's probably really good in them, but just they were movies that just didn't take off. I mean, they weren't interesting, or they weren't, well, you know, even 24-Hour Photo didn't do much favors for anybody.
It's interesting, because it's almost, I mean, not quite, but it's almost with, like, 1 Hour Photo and Insomnia and then, like, Final Cut, he's almost trying to rebuild his career kind of like Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Like, start small and do these, like, weird projects. But yeah, they never, like, was able to parlay that into any kind of major success.
Maybe that was the problem. He was doing too many smaller projects. And that probably brought down his income a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think he could stick with it. Because then he did, like, RV. And then he got back into that with, like, Night in the Museum and then Man of the Year. And
Happy Feet.
Yeah, I think from there he kind of tried to get back into his old ways. Probably because he started to need the money again.
Right. Well, it doesn't help also that you fall off the wagon.
No.
In like 2009 or recently. I think it was 2008 or 9 that he. I can't remember what they said on the in the reports. It was like he fell off the wagon again.
It was recent, though.
It was recent. Yeah. It's just too bad. It's just it's sad. It's really sad. Nothing you can do to help someone like that.
It's pretty unfortunate.
Yeah.
But still, though, 20 hours. That's a long time to, like, not worry
about
somebody.
That's some. That's strange to me. I don't know. I think they need to, I don't know, look into that.
It's a little odd.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel right to me.
It's kind of goofy. But you know what's really goofy?
What?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I saw it twice.
What a segue.
Yeah. How many times have you seen it? Just once?
I've only seen it once. I want to see it again. I haven't had time.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to see anything else. Expendables 3 I can wait on. I don't really give a shit.
I gotta see that one, I guess, so.
Did you download it? Did you steal it?
No, like, I should steal
like
it,
like a
though.
Dirty, dirty thief?
I should steal it.
Take money away from Sylvester Stallone, you bastard.
I just hope Wesley Snipes can get to do Blade 4, because that's going to happen.
Blade Oblivion.
Right?
Blade.
That's happening.
Blade again.
What an idiot.
It should be called Blade Tax Evasion.
He really thinks that's going to happen?
No,
I mean, don't
he's
be a
done.
Fucking moron, dude. That's over.
He could be Black Panther.
I don't see it.
Or what was it? Iron Fist? Or what's his name?
They already got Luke. Or, well, Luke Cage.
Luke Cage. Yeah, I don't. Sadly, I mean, I'm all about equality for like black actors. I like black actors to have hits and stuff like that. But I don't really see any of those black exploitation comic book characters succeeding in a film.
Well, like Luke Cage was gonna be on TV, so that I think works.
It's just stupid. It's like Black Dynamite. That's a cartoon show. It's a comedy. That's like, you know, Adam West Batman series esque joke, you know, jokey shit. I couldn't take that show seriously. It'd be stupid.
Yeah, I don't know how Black Panther would fit into the pantheon of Marvel films.
I don't see it working.
Because right
all.
Now they're getting so cosmic to bring in Thanos and have that confrontation in the third film. But I just don't know, like, why are they going to go to Wakanda? Like, what's over there that's so important?
It's going to be really awkward when, you know, Black Panther's like, come on, my brothers, we got to fight this Thanos motherfucker.
If only.
We're going to take him out in the street, my brothers. And they're all gang members. It's just going to be written by a white guy. It's going to sound terrible. It's going to be like a really poor imitation of Dolomite.
Well, supposedly they're working on that Inhumans movie, which I'm kind of curious about.
They should just give up now. Just focus on Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Avengers 3, Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man. The rest of your franchises aren't going to work.
You know what? I'd like to see that. Just do...
Do what you got.
Do Thor and Cap 3 and get those done.
Yeah.
Do Guardians 2 and then wrap up with Avengers 3. Don't even do Guardians 3 and just call it. I don't care.
Just end the madness. End this comic book movie madness.
I'm getting tired of it because we got Star Wars coming up, which is going to be insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems so needless. And then, I don't know. You just know, like, Warner Brothers is going to pull, like, some familiar ring. I don't know how you say the title.
Slimmerlin?
Yeah, that Tolkien appendices book.
J.R.R. Tolkien. The Appendices, directed by Peter Jackson. No! Well, Peter Jackson's screaming. He's so scared. He's going to be crying.
Well, all they need to do is just ensure that the next... just tell him, like, look, we're going to produce your next movie, and then market it terribly and say, come back to us and we'll make more Lord of the Rings movies. They'll love it.
Yeah, right. They're going to let them do the Dam Busters, and they're going to be like, oh yeah, we released it in 2 theaters. Fuck you, Peter. Make a Slimmerin.
I'll be like, what the hell is this?
Make us the Elves trilogy, you fat piece of shit.
And then, you know, you got like the Matrix prequels coming up.
God. Warner Brothers is dead. They're gonna be taking a Sony chapter soon.
And they got like, what else do they have? More Harry Potter movies coming out.
Oh, they got spinoffs of Harry Potter, and then they got 20. Count them, 20. Oh no, I'm sorry, 12. Count them, 12. DC comic book movies coming out till 2020.
Gosh,
and that's not gonna happen.
They're pushing Aquaman real hard, I guess.
Yeah.
Which sounds awful. I like Jason Momoa, but just leave him in like the Justice League movie. That's fine. He doesn't need his own movie.
Like I said, Warner Brothers has no idea what they're doing. They're just going to throw as much product as they can out there and hope something catches, but it's not going to work. You're not going to build an audience with half-assed ideas. It's just not going to happen. If it's going to be Green Lanternized, you're fucked.
That already scares me just so much.
I mean, they fucked the pooch with that one so bad that I don't think they can recover. They have so much ill will toward them now, it's not even funny.
No, and Man of Steel was only okay. And it's just like, if okay is as good as it ever gets, then I don't want to see more.
Well, I mean, because basically it feels like Man of Steel is phase one. And I mean, like, all of phase one. They're in phase two already.
Right. No, I agree.
Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Oh, I'm so goofy saying that.
I'm waiting for them to change the title. I just keep waiting.
That's not going to happen.
No, but I love their release date now. It's like in March.
Yeah, it's just like, whatever.
Which is such an odd time.
Well, they do that because they'll have the worldwide rollout release.
Right.
And they think that, you know, if it does well in America, because Batman's in it, American audiences love Batman. So in turn, the international audience will be more attracted to Batman than Superman.
What Luc Besson should do is already plan Taken 4 and just release it against that movie.
Yes.
Just be like, hey, I do not care. I am French. Fuck you, Batman.
I'm going to do the Lucy 2 movie. Lucy Mistaken. Taken Lucy. It's called Taken Lucy. It's got so good. I look beside French, no? Look at me. Oh, I love 15-year-old girls. Hello. I don't like web-developed breasts. I like little nubby things. Woo. Sicko.
Yes. I'm curious, like, what gets released against it now?
You can release a Terminator Gen Shittis. And it'll do well. Which I don't think that movie's going to do well at all. I think it's stupid. To bring Arnold into it makes no sense. Just give up on that.
It feels so desperate.
There's no point. Why would you... He has the worst box office track record for his comeback. And you don't see that? And you don't understand this? That's how dumb Hollywood is.
Robin Williams should have talked to Arnold. And been like, Arnold, how do you feel so good these days? You got no career. Yes. You're making all these sequels. Your wife left you. How do you do it?
I count my money on big hands and I stuff my fingers up young girls' butts.
You know.
That's what I do. I'm Arnold. This is so good. I think I will do the Predators movie again. That'll work because... I've going to do the Terminators again, and then I will do the Conans. I'm going to be sword wielding all these crazy orc characters, and I think I will fight like a giant lizard toad thing, and then I will play the what's the character? Oh, I go to well again for Predators. Why not?
What about, like, more Running Man, Arnold? Do you do more Running Man?
I would love to do the Running Man. I would love to do the Walking Man. Because it's a slower movie because I'm so old now. But I can't wait for Maggie. Ah, my daughter's a zombie. No. Ah. She's turning. I have to stop her. I have to crush her skull and put my fist down her throat and pull out her goddamn spine.
Classic cinema. Classic cinema.
Yes. No, I think they should remake Running Man. I think Running Man, a remake, is actually kind of well overdue.
Well, they already did, sort of.
The Hunger Games.
No, that movie with that guy from 300. What was that movie?
Fuck, that's one of the worst about it, because it's utter dog shit.
That was just terrible. But it was essentially a remake of that film. I mean, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of the same idea.
But it was terrible, though.
But then again, every movie is a remake of something else, really.
Oh, no, that's true. I just think like that kind of stood out to me as being, you know, oddly similar.
Right, yeah.
Even if the filmmakers were like, oh, no, it's not a Running Man at all. It's totally different. It's like, did you see Running Man? Because it's kind of the same thing.
No. We did Crank.
It's kind of the same thing. So.
But yeah, I just like seeing Milo Ventimiglia as a big fat obese guy eating like buckets of grease.
Where did he do that?
In The Gamer.
No, he was like Rapey Todd or something, wasn't he?
Oh, wait, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah,
I was just thinking of the other fat obese monster creature that was in that movie. That was like eating a bucket of grease, literally. Remember that?
In Gamer?
In Gamer, yeah, because like they showed all the people.
Like
a blob, he's gross.
No, now
which
now.
I kind of like. I was like that. Now see, that's interesting. Why couldn't they focus on like that concept and make it work instead? It becomes like this weird rape joke, like because he tries to like touch whatever the girl's name is in the movie,
right?
Because she plays like a sim hooker or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was a bad movie.
Yeah, no, it just didn't work at all.
Nothing worse than stupid sci-fi.
The only part I liked was like Michael C. Hall doing that dance at the end. That was kind of weird.
Yes.
And funny. But otherwise, like, what is this movie? This is terrible.
Yeah, it's like Dexter the Show, terrible.
Yeah, I could never get into that. I watched the first part of the first season. But then I found myself only really wanting to know who the bad guy was. Like, I didn't care about the show.
Yeah.
I was just like, who did it? And that was it.
Right.
And then I Googled it, and I was like, oh, that's it? Okay. I don't care.
Yeah, no, it's an awful show. It's one of those shows that everybody lies and says they love it. And if they do love it, that should be a barometer. That's the litmus test. It's like, if you like Dexter, I don't want anything to do with you. And I know it has its fans, and I think some of my friends are fans of the show, but it's just like, oh, why? The show is fucking atrocious. It's garbage.
Yeah,
Michael C. Hall's good, but like everybody else is so aggravating. It's like listening to fucking Mickey Rourke talk about saving somebody in Bosnia over and over again.
That's what he does.
I'll paint a surfboard and I'm going to talk about Bosnia. Oh, man. I'll make you broke up Sin City. Blah, blah, blah. That's how he talks.
Sin City. I am not looking forward to that movie either. That's like crap.
Oh, God. I'll go see it, but I just have no feeling for it whatsoever.
It's like 10 years too late. Like,
yeah, it's. Robert Rodriguez got to go away.
Yeah, it came out 9 years later. Why? Yeah, why? I don't care.
I remember when originally they were saying like Angelina Jolie was attached to be here the day. And that was back when Angelina Jolie was like still relevant.
Well, I think she's doing her own things. Like she's directing more and...
Whatever. Nobody cares.
I'll give her a bit of a pass.
Nobody cares about her UNICEF lips.
Because she's too rich. So what do I care?
I don't know. Is she?
Well, when I heard like she went to like someplace in Africa, like in the middle of nowhere, like some tent, like give birth.
Yes.
Like, you got money. You got money lying around.
You don't got money lying around if you go to have a baby in the tent in the middle of the desert of Africa. It's called being African.
It sounds like an idiot.
They're poor. It's a third world country.
It's just like, go to a hospital. Just go. You know,
I'm Angelina Jolie. Save these children. Oh, I will do it.
It come sounds like Michael Jackson.
Come to me, children. Shaman. Well, where's my nose? I lost my nose. Who's got my nose? Why, children? Why'd you steal my nose? Shaman. I'm talking to the man in the mirror. He's white.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly.
Well, he's dead, too.
But talking about dead, Game of Thrones for a second. So that character actor who... I kept thinking like that was someone who was on the show previous seasons, but he wasn't.
No, he was a brand new actor. And this is what happens when you cast an 86-year-old.
Yeah, I was shocked. I'm like, dude, at least get like a 70-year-old. Don't reach that deep. It's not necessary. But it is interesting to note, like I was telling you, like that's a guy that was part of the vote for Jon Snow for the Lord Commandership of the...
Well, he's the maester on one of the towers on the wall. He's the other maester.
Yeah, castle, the
one. Whatever. Ocean, I think. I don't know. Sure, whatever.
But that... So I guess that means they will have the vote this season at some point.
Oh, well, I'm sure, yeah, because that's the only thing that really happens for Jon Snow in the next season, because that's the only thing that happens in Book 5.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious...
This like, next season is where the writer's skill are going to come into play.
I think so, more than anything, yeah, by far.
You drinking? What was that?
No, just a burp, I guess? I don't know.
Oh, it was a burp from your bourbon. From your bottle of booze right next to you because you're bitter and angry because Melissa McCarthy's going to be in Ghostbusters 3.
Gosh, if she's in any movie, that's just enough for me. I'm tired of her.
Well, Tammy should have done it. I mean, it still was a hit, but not a massive hit like her other movies were.
No, but yeah, it did make money, so...
Yeah, I mean, it still came in at like 86 million, almost 100. But it cost like 20, so that's nothing.
Yeah, it's like they can write that off as a hit.
Yeah, no, it's a hit, for sure.
People love me being stupid and obnoxious, so this is great.
And fat.
Bring it
back to my 600-pound life.
Just too much for me.
I'm annoying and loud. I'm big fat. Oh, I'm so fat. Oh, I'm a fat, stupid bitch. Oh, that's my stick. That's my shtick.
Yeah, with International 94 million. So.
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
Well, yeah, it is. For her, it is.
Well, you know, maybe she could be a Krang in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
One could only hope.
Or she could be the suit that Krang's in.
Yeah,
the big,
like,
the big guy.
Identity Thief, that was 134. Heat was 159.
Oh, yeah.
Just domestic, too. Not even international. Yeah. But this is her first one where she's starring alone, too, so that's worth considering, I guess. I don't know.
No, that's a big... Yeah, it's a big...
it's a big drop, though.
Big issue, yeah. Well, I think people are equally tired of it. I think people still like her, but they like the character from Mike and Molly where she's, like, normal, and she's not playing, like, I'm a big, loud, fat, bitchy chick. Oh, I love dick and balls. Where's your little balls? Like, she just... You know, says dick and balls a lot and farts. And it's just like, okay, I get it. It was funny in Bridesmaids, kind of. You didn't like it, but...
Well, I actually liked her part in that movie, but I don't like the movie as a whole, no.
No, it was too long. It suffered from epitoitis.
But then I was like, oh, yeah, that lady is kind of funny. And then I was like, oh, she's doing something. That's cool. And then I saw Identity Thief, and I'm like, this is a weird movie, tonally. It's like all over the place.
I never saw Identity Thief. I didn't feel the need to.
And then I saw the other one, and I'm like, okay, it's more of the same shit in Heat, and it's like, I get it. This is old.
I didn't hate the Heat, though. There was some redeemable qualities about it that I enjoyed.
I don't know, I thought it was just garbage. It's like...
I like the tracheotomy scene.
I don't even remember.
But that was more that was more Sandra Bullock than Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, she was good, but I just didn't like Melissa McCarthy.
I like the albino. That was funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was too, I don't know.
But again,
a one-note joke, though. It was like one
Yeah, it's fine, but I like those one-note jokes that keep coming for a while sometimes. But it's just like, I don't know. I think the problem with those movies, do they take themselves too seriously? Is that what's wrong with it? Because like it has a real story and like people die in them? Is like is, I mean, is that, does that make you like them less because they try to be
personally?
Well, I know just in general. Do you think people walk away like thinking, oh, I thought that was gonna be funny, but I'm actually kind of saddened that they shot the albino guy in the fucking head execution style?
I don't think so. I don't know. I just think Melissa McCarthy just comes across as so obnoxious. It's like, why is she even a likable character? There's like no reason.
Probably she's isn't likable. She really isn't likable. She doesn't have any redeeming qualities except like at the end, like, I love my family, I guess. I don't know.
And then I also like that, I mean, man, I hate to like re-review this movie, but I also like that she knew that Sandra Bullock like screwed up some case or whatever. But then she doesn't, like, call anybody to tell anybody. And then when Sandra Bullock figures it out, there's no, like, repercussions or, like, any moment where the guy comes out and is like, screw you guys, you're awful.
Right, or he sues the FBI.
Yeah, it's just so weird. It's, like, so nonchalant, like, oh, yeah, you know, made a mistake, oops. It's like,
Thanks for the 5 years in prison that I was in when I was raped repeatedly.
Yeah, and now there's some like killer out there you haven't caught yet. Like,
yeah.
Nice job.
Very like, good.
It's just weird. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it is kind of odd. It's just off-putting. It's like, that's where you guys went with that. Okay. And, you know, people want more female-driven movies, and if that's what we're getting, I don't want any more.
No, I just, you know, I'm definitely all for it. It's just like, you know, there's so much more camaraderie in something like Lethal Weapon, whereas in this movie it's just like, here's a huge bitch and here's this, you know,
uppity bitch.
Yeah, it's just like,
bitch
I don't
and
know.
Bitch. It should be called Bitch and Bitch, the show.
And the one time they bond is when they were like drinking alcohol or whatever. I don't know.
Oh no, I got the title Bitch and Moan.
that's
pretty. And or it's just called Women Bitch and Moan, the series.
Yeah, and like Bridesmaids, like. All the women I talked to were like, yeah, it's pretty much real life. We're just that way to each other. It's like, man, it's awful.
Like, so, like, you are all catty bitches, and you guys don't get along, and you all fight to be number one between yourselves. It's like an awful thing. And actually, you know what? I don't want any woman going further in career-wise. I don't want you to get paid any more money either.
It just doesn't appeal to me. Like, that's kind of sad. Like,
if that's how women are nowadays, fuck, let them dry up and disappear. I don't mind using my right hand. I don't need that headache if they're going to be like that. Men are no picnic, but at least men will be like, fuck you, I'm going to piss on the cement, I'm going to bed goodnight.
At least we can have like a nice bromance.
Exactly.
Know? We can really bond, you know.
Like Seven, Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt, the bromance.
Yeah, that's a comedy gold.
Exactly.
Or like the Expendables, where like Jason Statham and Stallone want to have some intimate moments together.
And you realize the best part of those two movies you just mentioned, women aren't featured that much at all.
No, like Chris McCarpenter has that one scene that's straight from Goodfellas, and like that was it.
Yep, she's there to like show some tight sweaters and then go away.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, that's awkward.
I wonder if he's going to be in the third one.
I hope no one's in the third one. I hope it's all a big joke. Like, it didn't actually get made.
Well, it got made because it's online. You can watch it. It's leaked.
I have no interest.
It leaked like Melissa McCarthy's gravy stains.
Gosh.
Oh, well, do you want to go to the bar now since we've been talking for a while?
Yeah, we were almost an hour, so we did pretty good.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go. Let's go to the bar and drink to the memory of womanhood, of good women.
Terrific. Done.
Boom. Drinking. Good night, you bitches.